Let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God, our Father, and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.
And you forgave the guilt of my sin.
Almighty God, our Maker and our Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ.
O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, so that by your grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father has had mercy on us and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives power to become the children of God and has promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all.
Amen.
Behold, your King is coming to you.
Righteous and having salvation.
To you, O Lord,
I lift up my soul.
O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame.
Let not my enemies exalt over me.
Indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame.
They shall be ashamed who are treacherous without cause.
Power, O Lord, and come, that by your protection we may be rescued from the threatening perils of our sins and be saved by your mighty deliverance. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for the first Sunday in Advent is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 64th chapter. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence. As when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, and that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome things that we did not look for, you came down. The mountains quaked at your presence. From of old, no one has heard, or perceived by the ear, no eye has seen a God besides you, who acts for those who wait for him. You meet him who joyfully works righteousness, those who remember you in your ways. Behold, you were angry, and we sinned. In our sins we have been a long time, and shall we be saved? We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls upon your name, who rouses himself to take hold of you. For you have hidden your face from us and have made us melt in the hand of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hands. Be not so terribly angry, O Lord, and remember not iniquity forever. Behold, please look, we are all your people. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Restore us, O God of hosts.
Let your face shine, let me be saved.
Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock.
You who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth.
Before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh,
stir up your might. Come to save us.
Restore us, O God.
Let your face shine, that we may be saved.
O Lord God of hosts,
how long will you be angry with your evil prayers?
You have fed them with the bread of tears,
and given them tears to drink in full measure.
You make us an object of contention for our neighbors,
and our enemies laugh among themselves.
Restore us, O God of hosts.
Let your face shine, that we may be saved. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Restore us, O God of hosts.
Let your face shine, that we may be saved.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth, the first chapter. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you, because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift, as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah! Lift up your heads, O gates.
And then be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Hallelujah!
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 11th chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
When they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it, and we'll send it back here immediately.' And they went away and found a colt tied at a door outside in the street, and they untied it And some of those standing there said to them, "What are you doing, untying the colt?" And they told them what Jesus had said. And they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you.
Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text from the Gospel reading, as Jesus entered into Jerusalem, the crowd went before and followed after him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." This is our text. Well, here we go again to the start of another church year. The calendar is turned over. Purple is on the altar and the pulpit and the lectern. Another Advent has begun. The Advent wreath is set up with the first candle on it as we count down the weeks until Christmas. And something is missing. Some things have changed. The thing that I notice most about the Advent liturgy is the absence of that of the Gloria in Excelsis, glory to God in the highest, the song of the angels. We don't sing it today. Almost as if a hush has fallen over the entire creation in anticipation of Christmas Eve. Even the angels are silent, watching and waiting for what God will do. Heaven and earth are joined together in longing and in hope for the Savior to come. And if there's any prayer that should be on our lips in this season, it is this prayer. Come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. Come. The season of Advent is about the coming of our Lord. And yet here we really ought to think of Advent not as one thing, but rather as three Advents. There is the Advent of Jesus our King when he came in the flesh, was born in Bethlehem, lived, died, rose again for our salvation. There is the Advent, the coming of that same King on the last day. We look forward to it. And there is the coming, the Advent of our King that he makes among us even now in a hidden way as he comes in his holy word, in his holy and precious sacraments. One of the things I tell people as they come inside during Living Nativity is that we do what we do outside because of the reality of what is happening inside. We want them to know that our Lord Jesus Christ came as a true man, was really born, really lived and died in a real time and real place for real people, real sinners like you and me. But if we want to know him now, we don't go back to Bethlehem then. We come to where he is for us today. His holy word, his holy sacrament, our dear King Jesus Christ. The Old Testament church hoped and prayed for many years that God would come in this way, that he would act to save his people and to establish his kingdom. We heard what Isaiah said in the reading from Isaiah 64 when he said, "O Lord, that you would rend the heavens and come down." It's as if Isaiah said, "God, I want you to set Mount Wachusett shaking and the waters of Wyman's Pond boiling. Come down with power and with might. Come down so that all would know. Every eye would see it, every tongue would confess, and every knee would bow before you. Make your adversaries know your power and your might." But of course, as Isaiah prays that, I get the sense that he started to think about what the implications would be if God really came down like that. Because Isaiah begins to look at himself and he says things like this. He says, "You were angry and we sinned. In our sins we have been for a long time and we shall be saved. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment." When Isaiah thinks about God coming and then he looks at himself, he sees that he has no righteous deeds by which he can stand before God. It's almost as if the heat and light of the coming shine upon Isaiah, and he begins to see the spots that he never noticed before, the stains that he couldn't make go away, the stink that still hangs in his own life and his own works. And then he falls on his knees. He falls before the Lord. You are our Father. We are the clay, and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hands. Don't be angry with us, O Lord. Don't remember our iniquities forever. Behold, please look. We are all your people. Have mercy, he cries out, when you come with power and with might. He confessed that God is holy. He confessed that no one, least of all he himself, or you or me, is worthy to stand in his presence. He's looking for the coming of the Messiah, the Christ, the one who would be King of Israel in righteousness and in truth forever. That's what Isaiah was waiting for. And what we heard in the gospel reading today is when that took place. When God shook the mountains, when he set the water boiling, when he made known his righteousness in the face of all peoples, when Jesus entered into Jerusalem on a donkey. It's an amazing thing when we consider it that our Lord came, but it was not the earth-shaking sort of way that Isaiah had imagined. It was rather the hoof-stomping entry of a donkey into Jerusalem. That is the fulfillment of our hopes, the fulfillment of our prayers, the fulfillment of the promises and the expectation that we have and that all Israel had at that time. Coming to completion what God had promised, the king entering into his royal city. And that's why so many spread out their cloaks when he entered in. That's why they cut palm branches and waved them on high. It's why they went before him and came after him with shouts of praise. Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. They saw that Jesus was the fulfillment of all their hopes and all their prayers, riding into Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday. And we do the same thing. We sing and shout our hosannas to Jesus. We say, you are the Christ. You are God's Messiah. You are the promised one who was to come. You are the true Son of David. You reign on your Father's throne forever. We say to Jesus every Sunday as we gather, through our hymns and our liturgy and our prayers, we say, you are the king. You are the ruler of the world. It's what the crowds long ago confessed. And what we say as well when we greet him here. Hosanna. Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And yet when Jesus came into Jerusalem as king, it didn't turn out quite as anyone expected. He didn't come with the power and the might that they were hoping for, with the end of the Roman political rule, for by the end of that week, even their hosannas would die on their lips, and their psalms would fall silent, and their songs would be stuck in their throats. All of that buildup, all of that excitement, all of that anticipation, all of their hopes and dreams are drained away like the air being let out of a balloon. Your king comes, righteous and having salvation. Your king dies on a cross, crucified by Roman military might. Those hated Romanim get the victory in the end. Is that the way it turns out? They celebrated Jesus' arrival, but they didn't understand why he had come. Looking back, you can understand their doubts. I suspect that many of them had simply came to the conclusion that they'd gotten a little bit carried away and that Jesus wasn't everything that they had hoped and dreamed and expected. They came to the conclusion that Jesus really couldn't do what they wanted after all. Perhaps they began to think that they'd gotten carried away with a mob mentality. They'd been deluded in their hopes. Jesus wasn't the promised one after all, they thought. What had we been thinking? How could Jesus have been the one we were waiting for? You can't seriously believe that. A first century Jew riding on a borrowed donkey is the hope of the world? Are you kidding me? One who was born in a stable and laid in a manger? You're telling me that is the Savior? The dead man on the cross is the answer to Isaiah's prayers that God would rend the heavens and come down? I mean, you can understand their doubts. What Christian hasn't had the same ones from time to time? Thinking, maybe it really is crazy to gather Sunday after Sunday, year after year, millennia after millennia, because a man rode a donkey into Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. To human eyes, Jesus is a complete failure. To human eyes, the Christian faith is foolishness. And yet that's exactly why we gather here. That's exactly what we really do believe. That God's wisdom is greater than man's foolishness, and that God's ways are not our ways, but far better. The first Sunday of Advent that we celebrate today is about Jesus coming, and it is about Jesus coming to die. It sort of takes us forward in the calendar. It's as if we jump from the beginning of Advent and look all the way ahead to Palm Sunday. Forget Christmas, forget Epiphany, forget Lent. Go right to Holy Week. As we sing our hosannas today in the hymns, as we praise Jesus, we are joining the crowds that line to Jerusalem, and we might well wonder if we're in Advent or at Palm Sunday. And the reason is this. Even as we begin Advent, we recognize that the shadow from Christ's cross casts itself all the way back to now. And we'll spend the next 4 months making our way back through this journey, working our way back with Jesus through his life, to his suffering, his death, his crucifixion. I'd encourage you to look ahead. Look ahead to when Easter is and Holy Week comes, and mark your calendars now for 2024. And yet at the same time, we also pick up where Jesus has left off. He is on his way to Jerusalem. He's getting closer to his destination. He's always been headed in this direction. He's always been going to the cross. It might have caught the crowd by surprise. It might make us scratch our heads in disbelief and wonder at times. But Jesus knew where he was headed. The Father knew where he was sending his Son. He knew what it would look like when he finally did rend the heavens and come down. Because the one place that Jesus cannot avoid, the one thing that the church cannot ignore or ever leave behind, is what happens in Jerusalem on that Good Friday. It is the center of everything. It all pivots around this. It's the only reason why we do Living Nativity at all, is because that child who was born in Bethlehem came to die in Jerusalem. Our faith centers on that week, on that day, on that event. As if the death of Jesus is a magnet that draws everything to it, draws us to it, draws our sins to it, draws our death to it. So that it goes to be with him on the cross. Or you might say that it's as if Jesus' death on the cross is the black hole that simply the center of gravity, both for Jesus' life and for us as Christians, and it sucks everything into it. Time and eternity and sin and death and hell are drawn to him. This is the fact of the Christian faith. The fact that Jesus cannot escape and will not escape, and neither can we. A couple of times this week I made the comment that Jesus is the only man whose purpose in being born was simply to die. It's true that death hangs over all of us, but we were not made to die. God made us to live with Him, but He sent His Son for the purpose of dying, that we might have that life. And so we are back in Jerusalem, back with Jesus on the cross, back with the one who rode the donkey into that city for our salvation. And what we see is a picture of what happens Sunday after Sunday for us. While we look back to Jesus being born in Bethlehem, and while we look ahead to His coming again to be our judge, we also look to Him as He comes to us now, as He came to Jerusalem, not with an earthquake, not with boiling of water and the stirring of the whole world, but He comes to us now in a quiet way. I remember how Elijah wanted to see God and to know His presence, and it was finally when he came in the whispering, in the quiet, that God made Himself known. And so it is that He comes to you today, lowly and gentle, quiet and humble, with a salvation that takes away all of your sins, that covers all of your sorrows, that fulfills and brings every promise that He ever made. He comes to you in His Word. He comes to you in this Holy Supper, riding on bread and wine and not on a donkey, that He might be your Savior and enter not only into your ears but into your heart as well. Savior of the nations, come. Make here your home in our hearts. Let your kingdom come to us, and let your kingdom reign in our midst, and bring others into your kingdom as well, until you return in glory. He does not overpower us. He does not force His way with us. But He comes gently and quietly and mercifully for us sinners. For He will not consume us, but instead He forgives us. Our Lord Jesus Christ reigns and lives in His church, and He still brings to you now the benefits of His mercy and His salvation and His peace. And He lavishes upon you again that forgiveness and that grace that He earned by His suffering and death through that first entry into Jerusalem. And now we are waiting for Him to come again. We are waiting for that great day when the tongues will all be loosed and the knees will all be unstiffened. We are waiting for that great day when the crowds will be lined up to greet Him, and our shouts of Hosanna will be heard by the one coming on the clouds in glory. For we are headed to another Jerusalem, dear friends. Not simply to the Jerusalem where Jesus was crucified, but to the Jerusalem that is above, to the new Jerusalem when Jesus comes again. And even though He comes to us now, we still pray that His kingdom would come. His kingdom would come in glory and in power and in might. That is our Advent prayer and our prayer all year round. For we know that all things come from Jesus, and all things are fulfilled in Jesus, and all things find their rest and their home in Jesus. And so Advent is all about Jesus, all about His cross and His coming to us now, and His coming again in glory, as your Savior, as your King, as the one who brings mercy and forgiveness and life. And so we pray again today, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Oh,
I will offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs.
Gracious Lord, sustain us to the end, we pray, especially as we wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Give joy and boldness to all who preach, and make known the name of your Son to those who hear. Thank you for watching over us during the first night of Living Nativity. Give us joy, energy, health, and good weather for the second night, and grant that all who see and view our little Bethlehem may come to know and trust the child of Bethlehem as their Savior. Lord, in your mercy, give boldness and faithfulness to Matthew, our Synod President, Robert, our District President, Paul, our circuit visitor, and all pastors in Christ. Renew the faith and quicken the love of all Christians, that we may be enriched in all speech and knowledge. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, grant your blessing to all marriages and keep all husbands and wives faithful to each other. Guide them as they care for the children entrusted to them. Bestow your loving care upon all children who have suffered abuse or neglect, as well as upon all who open their homes to children in foster care. Sustain all women who are pregnant and their little ones, especially Rachel, Stephanie, and Shayla. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, behold our nation and its leaders, and protect our armed forces, taking them under your care and blessing. Lord, in your mercy. Visit us in your compassion, O Lord. Deliver the sick from their infirmity, the troubled from their afflictions, the grieving from their sorrow, and the dying from their fear. Especially we pray for Ray, Debbie, Anne, Matthew, Natalie, Diane, Dan and Patty, Eleanor, Ellen, Isaac, Yorma, Karen, Kristen, Lorinda, Mary, Rick and Teresa, Shannon, Teddy, Tommy, Verity, and Rick, as well as our homebound. And we pray for your peace to all who are mourning, especially for Marilyn, and for Christopher and Jeff, and the other family and friends of Jeremy Henriksen's friend. May all who cry to you receive grace according to your will. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Lord, your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, entered Jerusalem to shouts and cheers of joy. Grant that we may be stirred by the word and sacraments to rejoice anew, now, and when he comes again. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Father, you make us glad to enter into your presence. From you we hear the good news of our Savior and receive your gifts. Preserve your church against all her enemies, and lead us to walk in your ways and to follow your paths, that when Jesus returns in his glory, we may welcome him with glad hosannas. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In your boundless mercy, you sent your servant, John the Baptist, to proclaim that in Christ the kingdom of heaven draws near. With thankful hearts we pray, come, Lord Jesus, confident that in his body and blood, given us to eat and drink, we receive the forgiveness of sins, and so proclaim his death until he comes again in glory. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Our psalm today is Psalm 24, starting at the first verse. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, and the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded upon the seas and established upon the rivers. Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? He who cleans the hands and pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false, and does not swear deceitfully. He will receive the blessing of the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek the face of God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, the ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and bless you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We thank you, all-powerful God, for refreshing us with this healing gift. And we pray, Father of mercy, by this holy food, make us strong in faith toward you and in deep love for each other, that through us, other beloved sinners may yield to you and receive with us grace and life in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.